Welcome to the Revital Health Podcast. I'm Jodie Duval, and I'm a functional naturopath in Perth, WA. This is a place where you can expand your knowledge on how to optimise your health and realise your full potential. We'll have cutting-edge information with expert guests and having lots of fun along the way. Get ready to be empowered and motivated to reach your higher vitality and find your ultimate potential. Let's go!
Revital Health is a proud member of the Health Optimization Network. Health Optimization, Medicine and Practice is a 501c3 non-profit on a mission to educate doctors and practitioners on how to optimize for health rather than treating disease. If you're interested in becoming a practitioner or donating, head over to homehope.org. Revital Health Clinic is the first and only of its kind, exclusive health optimization clinic in Australia with state-of-the-art health technology protocols and personalized care, with compounded medicines made specifically for your testing individualities. To find out more, head to revitalhealth.com.au.
On today's episode, I'm joined by Chris Walker, a highly skilled herbalist, naturopath, and psychology trained practitioner with a passion for blending traditional wisdom with modern clinical insights. With years of experience in herbal medicine, mind, body wellness, and integrative health, Chris really brings a unique perspective on the placebo effect, energetic medicine, and personalized care. Beyond the clinic, Chris has a rich background from working in music festivals, nightclubs, for delving deep into traditional herbalism, energetic healing, and the science behind plant-based medicine. Expect some incredible insights, cheeky puns, and a no-nonsense approach to making herbalism practical, accessible, and a little bit magical. So today we discuss the science behind placebo and nocebo effects, how belief and intention influence health outcomes, the therapeutic relationship and the impact on healing, the art and science of herbalism, including the doctrine of signatures and energetic matching of herbs to individuals, why personalized medicine goes beyond just symptoms and compounds, the importance of intuition in health and how it shapes clinical decisions, and we dive deep into how herbs, frequencies, and the intention interact in healing, and why an understanding the personality of the herbs is key, and how practitioners can harness placebo for better outcomes. So with a bold and engaging style, Chris is on a mission to make herbalism cool again, ensuring that modern clients reconnect with plant medicine, nature, and their own innate healing potential. Whether it's high-dose or microdosing herbs, phytochemicals, or energetic frequencies, Chris knows how to craft the perfect remedy both scientifically and intuitively. So Chris is currently taking new clients at Revital Health and is actively involved in herbal workshops, education, and practitioner mentoring. So we really hope you enjoy this cracker of an episode.
All right, we are back with another episode. I'm so excited for this one today. First time on the show.
First time, yeah.
Welcome, Chris.
Virgin territory. Hi.
We are going to do many of these, as I say to everyone, because yeah, there's always so much information that we need to be telling everyone about.
That's it.
So today we are talking about the placebo effect in clinical care. Mm-hmm. And we are going to be mainly focusing on herbal medicine.
Correct. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Chris, tell us a little bit about you, because your background is incredible.
A little bit wild. Yeah. A little bit left of wing.
Yeah. So whatever you want to tell us, you can tell us.
All right. Well, hi, everyone. I'm Chris. I am a herbalist and have been a herbalist for quite a few years now. We won't say how many years, because then you'd have to cut me open and count the rings. Which is a herbalist joke, yay. And everyone needs to prepare yourself for the puns, because it's a shameable. I am a herbalist. I have also completed studies in naturopathy and studies in psychology previously. So that's kind of like my wheelhouse, is herbs, mental wellness, mind-body connection, which kind of leads a lot into what we're talking about today. Mm. And then previously on the wild side, I've done a lot of interesting things, working for festivals and working for nightclubs and
all the festivals that I wanted to go to that I didn't get to go to.
The Glastonbury, yeah. This sort of, yeah, yeah. We'll never say never. We could always one day.
You'll do it when we're 50.
That's it. That's it. The people I went with were 50. So, like,
there you go. You
know, it's yeah. Yeah, that's kind of me in a little essence, a little gumshell, I guess.
Incredible.
Like, yeah.
And so when we had decided on the topic of this
yes.
podcast, and I was driving to work this morning, and I realized we actually haven't done a podcast on placebo.
No.
And it's the biggest component of our practice.
But it's also kind of like a little bit of a dirty word.
It is.
Especially in not just like holistic healthcare,
yeah.
But in medicine as well. It's kind of this sort of the whole placebo, nocebo. We don't really talk about that. And how they, well, maybe nocebo can't really work for us, but it does definitely present itself for a lot of clients.
Mm. Absolutely. And looking at a lot of the way that research is designed as well.
Yeah.
And this was my thought process as I was like mulling over this and the topics that we could talk about today. But the way that we design research studies is on a placebo and a non-placebo or the treatment.
Yep.
But when you go into anything, you have an expectation of an outcome. And those going through studies don't know that they have the placebo or the treatment.
Nope.
And so in part, there is this confounding issue that we have, but also we use it to our advantage in clinical treatment. And this is where I absolutely adore it. And so I don't really want know where to start here, but I think let's explore the concept of placebo first.
So for all of you viewers at home or your listeners at home, placebo is what we use for control groups, so to speak. It would be in a study that looked at giving a pill. A placebo group would be a group that receive a sugar pill. That's not the medication that they're trialing active medication they're trialing. And then the group is not told what they're taking, so they try and keep it blind or double blind, as we try and say. And we then use that to look at results and see where the active medication worked, whether the active medication didn't work when comparing it to the placebo group.
Mm-hmm.
The reason we don't tell people what they're taking, whether they're taking the active medication or whether they're taking the placebo, is because we know that belief systems skew results. And we see this in a quantum physics aspect where the observer bias, where if you observe something, you actually skew the results. And there's been those instances where people have done sort of the observance games where they drop a whole bunch of balls with pegs in them, and they're trying to figure out where the balls are going to go. And often when they think they're going to go into one slot, these randomized balls getting dropped all kind of go into that slot. So there's a weird little sort of tricky, magic-y, quantum physics-y sort of thing happening, and relating it back to the studies. That's why we don't tell people about whether they're taking a medication or whether they're taking the placebo group. The reason we bring it up is because that same sort of concept has very much an efficacious space in clinical treatment, and and it's getting clients to, I mean, maybe not giving them sugar pills. We don't want to give people non-active.
There's much belief that homeopathy is just a sugar pill. This is the argument for the medical community.
Well, I guess if you to actually look at what it is, it is a sugar pill and water, but they're not looking into the
energetics.
Or, the placebo involved
exactly.
and the intention. And I guess intention is another word we can kind of use to talk about the placebo, nocebo sort of spectrum.
Yep.
For those listening outside at home, once again, or viewing us today, nocebo is when you have negative outcomes. Yep. So placebo is positive outcomes and negative are the nocebo. Do you understand the Latin behind it?
Well, no, you tell me
so,
all this.
So you're going to love this, especially from the naturopathic doctrine as well, because it relates.
Yeah.
But placebo comes from placere, or if you want to be technically correct, because in Latin it's all hard C, so it's placere.
Mm-hmm.
And then nocebo is nocere.
Mm.
And that's the same nocere as in primum non nocere, which is our first do no harm.
Yeah.
So placere is to please or to make acceptable. That's where it comes from. And then that got moved to placebo, as in I am pleased or I am acceptable as the old Latin word, and then we've translated it to the English, which is where that's at. Whereas nocebo or nocere is harm, and nocebo is to harm, basically. So there's a very interesting sort of language play there, I think, that the whole placebo gets sort of, it's a, sort of, it's a dirty word. People don't like to bring it in or use in clinical practice because they're saying, well, the active ingredients aren't working, or you're just using placebo. But then the essence, the energy behind the word is to please. And I think, have we lost making medicine pleasing or making it acceptable? You know, like there's an entomological aspect there that I think often gets kind of missed in clinical settings. And we kind of, I don't know, maybe I'm just rambling. Maybe it's the green tea, but...
No, I feel that we've made it a dirty word in research because it's always assumed as the non-effective or the other option. Yeah. And we're only testing the real on the other side.
Well, how many studies, you know, we'll sort of say like in the active ingredient we were testing, it didn't compete with placebo. And I think the thing there is like, why did the placebo do so well? Exactly. Why can't we replicate that for a situation? Exactly. Yeah.
So, you know, and I think the ambiguity of this is the issue, is that how do we measure it? We can't. How do we, how do we know it was this or that? And this is the issue in clinical practice, is that we are using so many different tools, tricks, medicines, because it's an art form.
Yeah.
And it's an art form that we are trying to bring from our expertise of years of study and experience to then get best outcomes for our clients. And so it isn't just down to one compound or one herb. It is down to that magic, you know, and it is. We have the ability for us to support ourselves by thinking and believing in something. And this is the belief.
Oh my God, when you think about how medicines work, because often I think that there's a bit of a conception that when you take a medicine, it's adding something into the mix that you didn't have. And we as clinicians know that that's not really how that works. There's a few certain circumstances where it, like from a hormone replacement therapy, you're adding in a hormone you were lacking, but for most medicines, they're actually augmenting the way that our brain is telling our body to make constituents. Like our brain has all the goods it needs to tell our body to make medicines from aminos, from vitamins, and I think that's a really nuts aspect that we've also kind of forgotten, that like your brain can do the healing, you can stimulate healing by getting your brain in the right sort of space and getting your body feeling safe and getting your body feeling like, okay, I can do this healing, I'm not under fight and flight, you know.
And I think all of us have felt that when we've had a really good therapeutic relationship as well, which I wanted to touch on, with the practitioner.
Yeah.
You know, there's the cases where you're like, oh my God, this person, I can't even, like this, I just don't believe in this person. They're just not giving me the right vibe, you know. And I get a lot of clients tell me this, like, oh, I went to this practitioner and just didn't get the right vibe.
Yeah.
And that's where we talk about, you know, a therapeutic relationship. And the placebo effect within that, and the belief system that that patient or client has on you as a practitioner, and how that will impact their treatment outcomes.
So
much has been done on this.
The stats are nuts. If you look at stats of what is health outcomes, up to 75% of what goes on is attributed to the therapeutic relationship between the practitioner and the client. 75%. That means that like medication equates, or healthcare treatments equate to less than a quarter. Because that's also not taking into fact like socioeconomic access, health support networks, care support networks. 75% is just the practitioner and the client.
And that's how they relate.
Crazy.
It's huge.
It's huge.
But we see evidence of this every day.
Yeah.
I can think of so many different clients that come in here and they walk out of here and they literally say every time, I feel so much better every time I walk into this clinic and see you. And then I walk out and I feel so much better.
And Jodi, you would also see that that isn't just always talking about the case. That's just holding space for your client and allowing your client to just talk about whatever. Obviously, you've got to kind of keep them on track sometimes.
Yeah.
But
it's been heard.
Yeah.
And it's all these components add up to that placebo effect and the outcomes of treatment. But it's always put down to this woo-woo and wishy-washy. And but when we look at how medical treatment has gone and why we as nutritionists, naturopaths, herbalists have so much success, not all the also the alternative treatments we have time with our clients. And that is the unfortunate component of a lot of medical care. You know, 5, 10 minutes, and most that's the complaint for a lot of people when they come in.
I mean, someone can't even answer how was your morning in 10 minutes. So I don't understand how you could do a whole health consult being like, how's the last 6 months been in 10 minutes?
Yes,
Absolutely not. Like,
absolutely,
you're talking to a
absolutely.
Gemini here. It just keeps going for ages and it goes off tangents. So I don't understand how you could talk. You know what I mean? Like, and yeah, it can be the woo-woo, but like, I think woo-woo has a place.
Yes.
Like everything
Yes.
has a place.
Yes.
It can't all be woo-woo,
No.
but it can be a little bit woo-woo.
We need a balance of everything. Yeah. And we talk about these things constantly in
Oh,
the in
all the
our
time.
kitchen out there. And it's something that is so important, integral that for us to keep on reminding ourselves as practitioners as well, is that we have a huge component of impact and effect on our clients by giving space and being okay ourselves as well. So we can give that space. Yeah. So yeah, I want to go into more specific examples. And I know I guess it's really hard to give direction when we're talking about these things because it's really at the time, you know, personalized medicine, personalized support, personalized placebo. We call it personal, yeah,
Personally,
expertise.
well, I just say intention. You know what I mean? Like, I just be like, that's the intention you're healing. Like,
What are we studying for today? With perception, I always have a conversation with my clients about perception every time they walk in. You know, we sort of like clear the table of all previous
At the
perceptions.
beginning, you should start the day being like, what do you think this is going to be like? How do you think this is going to go? What's this next 6 months ahead in your vision?
Exactly. Because there's always this preconceived ideas that will dictate how treatment course action and the actions of the client will take over. And so in my conversations with clients, it's always like, well, what is your perception of your current situation? And how do we need to shift that perception so then you get better outcomes? And this is all placebo.
That's it.
This is all placebo. So I think we should talk more into herbal medicine realm, and I'll let you lead where you need to lead, because we can talk about the actual treatment of herbal medicine with clients, and we can also talk about the actual herbs themselves.
Because that's the thing. Herbs aren't just like atoms. Like they're little living plants that have
Yes.
their own little consciousness. The one I just cracked up, I know it's a bit off left wing, but a art installation just attached some electrodes to a mechanical arm and gave the mechanical arm a machete and basically let this little plants just go hacking at things that came near it. So like, you know, like the whole the,
What?
like yeah,
What is
wild. But
this?
if you think that like they're little living creatures, like
Yeah.
all that, all the music that people make with mushrooms, like it's,
Yes.
you know,
Yes. And trees and
yeah. And I think there's a part in herbalism that's the art, maybe. That's not just the science side. And it very much is a thing that's the art and the science. But yeah, sorry. I digress.
No, it's very good because again, I get to make the point of you know, how many people do we have comment to us about, oh, you know, where's the research, where's the science in herbal medicine? And we're like, what?
Well,
Excuse, what?
two-thirds of all.
What do you
More
think
than
our degree
two-thirds,
was?
yeah, but also like more than two-thirds of all allopathic medications are plant derived. So I always love that. I always love that little
I always
question.
give willow bark as the example. I'm like, love, where do you think aspirin comes from? So where do you want to lead? Do you want to start with specific examples of herbs or examples of treatment options for clients and how you bring those together in the energetics for a particular client?
I'll talk a little bit of like what is herbalism to me and how that sort
Yes.
of relates. So
Perfect.
like, yeah, definitely as we sort of talked about, there's a phytochemical. So phyto being plant, you know, phytochemical side to herbal medicine that is our, whether it's got tannins or terpenes or catechins, those sorts of mechanical things. And for instance, you might have a client come in with sort of allergic rhinitis, which is what we talk about with sort of like a head cold, you know, like an allergy head cold to pollen. And you want to give them something that's an antihistamine to kind of bring some of that down. And we think of things like nettle because it's an antihistamine plant. But then you'd also think about things that have sort of a drying aspect, or and that comes from astringency. And that could be something like a golden seal or an elderflower. So that's the mechanics of that. But as I say, like, do you choose the elderflower? Do you choose the golden seal? And herein lies sort of the more nuanced bits about the herb. So you're looking at, well, some people sort of use herbalism through the lens of the doctrine of signatures, which for those listening at home is an old sort of traditional. I'm very big on traditional methods. I'm very big on old
Which
herbalism
I love. I absolutely love.
because
So good.
my mentors were individuals who also had to cut them open and count the many, many, many rings. And a lot of these systems of knowledge are conversational, and so if we don't talk about them, they get lost, and it's not all that can be documented down because it's an art form. So I'm very big on keeping traditional methods alive and bringing traditional methods in and using
So
sort of the
important.
older herbs, because we've got this amazing library of herbs out there, but often the older herbs don't get used enough, and then the suppliers stop making them, and then we don't have access to them anymore.
The fads come in and out.
That's exactly it. So the doctrine of signatures is an older method, looks at using the language of the plants is how they grow, and the like the shape of their leaves, the color of their flowers, the smells they produce, the terrain in which they grow, and whether it's wet or dry, whether it's sunny or shadowy, and all of this kind of implies aspects that it could be useful for. But then going more to the point of like, I think the classic example I use for the doctrine of signatures is if we think about a walnut. Nut or a walnut, how it looks like a little brain. It's got all the little sort of crevices that brain matter replicates. So we know that it's full of essential fatty acids, fantastic for brain health. That's a really, a really good indicator. Another one I always like to use is the fact that like little bilberries, little blueberries, if you actually have a look at them, they look like little eyes. And we know that blueberries, the anthocyanins, the vitamin A components in there, they're all fantastic for eye health. So I think choosing between the elder, using back to that analogy of are we using the allergic rhinitis, are we using the elderflower, are we using the sort of the golden seal? It's looking at like, well, what are these different plants? How does their growing structures, how does that apply better for the particular client in front of us? And that brings it right back then to we're not just treating symptoms, but we're actually applying herbal medicine to people. We're matching herbal medicine based on the personality, the person in front of us, as opposed to is this a good herb just for managing the symptoms? And moving herbalism away in the current lens from green pharmacy more towards personalized placebo care. Do you know what I mean? Like it's personalized care, but there's also an element of placebo or intention or belief. Or I think from a yogic standpoint, we use a sankalpa. When you sit to do a yoga, you'll make it. So what is the intention there? What is the energy behind that? We see a lot of this in sort of non-Western forms of natural medicines. We see this in traditional Chinese medicine. There's a big mind-body connection, and we see this in Ayurveda, a big mind-body connection, even in the origins of Western herbal medicine, which is our the humors. Like there was a big emotion aspect between whether you were sanguine or whether you were melancholic, like.
And I think it's just it's beautiful to hear you talk in this way because symbolism and the traditional nature of what we're trying to I guess a match or achieve with clients, and we forget about all the intricate details of even just symptoms and just talking to clients. So we've come away from the, and I was also pondering this morning as I always prepare for a podcast in my own head, thinking, wow, doctors, you walk in, they don't talk to you.
Don't
They
even look at you
use,
sometimes or touch you. They're just on their little tibbly. I mean, all the love for the doctors, but I know you're very time short, but like there's no interaction.
No, and they know this, and that's the frustration I talk to many of them about. But it's more that they will only be giving blood pressure, or it's only looking at metrics and data, which is this much of the picture. Whereas the conversation, the symptoms, the matching, even with homeopathy and herbal medicine, you're looking at all the, am I better in wind? Am I better in cold? Am I better in heat? Am I feeling like this is the emotion of today? Or where is the emotion sitting? Where we were talking about earlier about anxiety. Where is anxiety? Where are we presenting with that anxiety? And that will determine on which herb is best suited according to how that herb is.
And we often see this as well with newer graduates working with herbs, and we understand that maybe the institutions teaching herbalism often have their hands tied because it's a scientific degree, so they've got to keep it all within the realm of science.
Yeah.
And I was quite vocal during my most recent studies, getting it to be a bit more grassroots.
Should be.
But they match, they look up the symptoms and they know which herbs match phytochemically which symptoms.
Yep.
And they get the levels right because that's what the research says, and they put it all together in a bottle and they want to give it to the client. And I'd always sort of point, I'd be like, do you know what that is like? Do you know what that tastes like? Do you know what that feels like? Have you tried the these herbs? And I always equate it to either a choir, because each individual herb is a voice in a choir, and you want balance in that remedy. You want that formula to have, you know, you don't want too many sopranos, too much bass, too many altos. You want it a nice, perfect balance. Or if you want to use a different analogy, and you listeners, I'm very big on analogies. I'm sorry if it's a bit metaphoric.
Very, very good
but
teaching.
It's like cooking, you know, like you could get all the ingredients, but unless you know what those different tastes taste like,
you could make
a really bad stew or a really beautiful soup. You know, like it can go like curries. We know how difficult curries can be to balance out all those spices.
Flavors,
I think it's, you know, the most recent ones we've been giggling about in clinic is our cayenne and how much people were like, well, it says 5 mils, I'm gonna put 5 mils of cayenne
let's
try a single drop and see if you can do 5 mils, you know. It's I think that's also really important, not just from a woo-woo side, but just like knowing your ingredients and do they work well together energetically, taste-wise, you know, is it palatable and accessible for your client? You know, have you put some great antimicrobials together, but it tastes like absolute ass crack and it's not going to be able to be go down, you know, they're going to have one shot and then tip that down the sink. Like,
yeah.
We've had a few of those from people being like, I didn't like that. And I was like, oh, like, you know, so.
Remedy and then mediating.
Yeah, be like, how can we make this a bit more palatable?
Yeah.
But also I think on that, it's also good to talk about, like, was that maybe necessarily making a formula for the symptoms, or was it making a formula for the person? And that's where it takes a bit more time, getting to know the person.
That's right.
Getting to know what energetics. Do you know the energetics or the personality of
that
herb?
Yeah.
I was very fortunate that in my training many, many moons ago, with the lovely Seed Sisters, shout out to the Seed Sisters, that we spent time as part of our training learning about the plants in depth. So we each get assigned one plant to learn through a full year.
Oh my goodness.
And you'd look at that plant through its seasons of growing. Wow. You'd have to really get to know, like almost anthropomorphize that one plant to get to know it. And it's almost an old Native American philosophy, is that you need to spend a full year getting to know one plant.
This, I feel, is the issue with our current learning systems.
Yeah.
Is that we, and all learning systems, is that we're flying through information and we never actually get to fully dive into the depth of every single piece of information. Because, yes, there's lots to cover, but we never get to know something fully ever.
Yeah.
It's all surface level, and then we are half treating people.
But I also feel like, you know, like your best friend, your best girlfriend, your best Judy, like, sure, you'll never get to know her completely, but you get to know her really, really well by spending time with her.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing, like, the we'll never know anything completely.
No.
And I think if we did, that's a bit cautionary, because like there should always be a question of a what if, but you can get to know things really well if you're given the space and time.
Yeah. Enough to use them to the depth that they have required,
and to use different parts of your brain.
Yes,
because Jody will know that I often try and bring not just an analytic side in, but the creative side in the brain, and be like, you know, what does this herb sound like?
Yeah,
you know, like take a drop on your tongue and be like, what does it sound like? What color is, like, get to use those other parts of our fully of our brain, you know, to really get to understand something. And I think the same goes with your clients. Like, what does your client sound like? What's, like, if they were a color, what would that be? Like, if they were a pitch or a frequency, and you know, do you need to match that frequency, or do you need to counter that frequency with something lower or high? And same sorts of thing. It's like, it's engaging fully ourselves, because that's the luxury of the medicine we practice, is that it is holistic and it's all encompassing.
Absolutely. So many good points there. And I feel that that's what we do, you know, not just to the degree of the medicine that we're giving our clients, but we're doing that intuitively. As soon as we speak to someone on the phone, as soon as they walk into our clinic, it's something that, as any good practitioner will know by time spent, you know, in office and talking to people and being with people, is that you're intuitively reading them exactly how they are. And then you yourself will change your energy and adapt.
That's it.
For them.
And you hold a space for them as well. Mm. Like, they take up space in our brains for an extended period of time, whether we see them or whether we don't see them. We're always thinking, the amount of times I'll be like in the shower brushing my teeth and I'll be like, oh my gosh, this is the best thing for my client. And I have to like quickly make a voice note on the phone, because we're always milling on our clients. We never just like one and done, see you later. We actively hold, we integrate parts of them into ourselves and hold that space, which is, and then also more about is the practitioner in a good space to hold space?
Absolutely. You know? That's why the self-care and what we talk about in practitioner care is essential. Yeah. But me last night, 10:30 at night, researching for the client, for one of my clients that I saw 2 weeks ago, because it just popped into my head. And I was like, oh my gosh, I need to research about this and figure out this part, because I've just had an epiphany on it.
my most profound epiphanies come from the 2 a.m. wake up with the cat deciding that that's time for cuddles.
Yeah.
And that's when my brain's trying to do anything to go back to sleep. And I'll be like, oh my God, this is the best idea ever.
Now I gotta
quickly write this down. Blue light on the phone.
No, I love that. So I guess let's evolve into, we talked about the in-clinic setting of for a client and the placebo or the care that we can give and the intuition we can provide with ourselves and also for them in their perception shifts. But then we've talked about specific outcomes for medicines.
Yeah.
And then, obviously herbs and how each one and the art form that it is to bring that together. But then how then do we instill this? You know, there comes to a point where you go, okay, client, we're going to have to take some medicine now. And, it might not taste that great, or, your body might not accept it the way you think it does.
Yeah.
And so there is also, we don't just leave it there. We go, here's the medicine.
Never just like, here's your bottle of liquid. Adios, muchachos. Very much, I walk my clients through the ingredients, because I feel like also conventional physicians will give you a script, and it's sort of the job of the pharmacist to explain that. And often the pharmacists themselves will kind of ask questions like, have you taken this before? This is what to expect. That's it. Whether we kind of, I feel like we have a bit more of an obligation, because it's, there are a lot of people that never had herbal medicine.
No.
We've got the luxury of having experience for years. So we know what to expect. But for a lot of the public, we often forget that this is a really new, really odd concept for them. So I'll sort of talk about is this an ethanol base? Is this a glycerin base? What's the difference between those two? Yes, it is alcohol. How many clients have we had being like, I've had glycerols before and now I'm having an ethanolic extract and it just tastes like alcohol. It's like, well, it is a base of alcohol, sweet pea.
But it's this much.
But yeah, I mean, you're having 15 mils, which is less than a standard 25 mil shot. And if I know my clients, they're all having a double shot in their vodka sodas. I'm like, well, it's fine. And then, so there's a sweet aspect there with the glycerol, and it also can be quite thick and viscous. Also, maybe for clients who are textural, it's being aware of that for them. And then also talking about what the constituents of that formulation are, whether you've got spicy tasting herbs or astringent tasting herbs, which is the dry mouth feel for those listening at home. It's like red wine tanniny kind of
cistus today.
Yeah, the cistus. I actually kind of liked it, to be honest.
A bit of tannin.
It was. Yeah. I'm not a sweet girly. I'm a dry dirty martini girly. So I can't fit. But there was a floral note there as well.
Beautiful.
Is it bitter? How many clients we see that don't do bitters? That are like
bitters
are
really bitter.
Really foreign concept. Mm. And it is also us as a farming industry breeding out bitters and not making bitters palatable.
We have bitter receptors everywhere.
Oh my gosh, everywhere. Yeah.
So we need bitters.
Yeah.
To stimulate our bitter receptors.
And no wonder we have a big metabolic crisis on our hands, because we don't have bitters in our diet. Like all our lettuce leaves were bitter, and then we bred them to be really sweet. And there's a whole agricultural conversation we could have in another day on this one. The craziness of
Rocket is the only one that I like anymore because it's bitter.
Oh, I love a purple radicchio. I love if you can get it farmers markets. You can't always find them, but Woolies or Coles, if you're listening, get me a radicchio, please. But I love a good farmers market to get a radicchio, and you do that. with like a really creamy tahini dressing and like lime, a little bit of like garlic, chili garlic crisp, and then like some
Ooh.
nice like nuts or a good bit of like sheep milk cheese or a feta cheese.
Lovely.
Oh my gosh, great salad,
Oh.
great salad.
Oh, you need to do a culinary delight podcast.
I would just talk, we should do menus, just talk about food one day. We'll get
Oh,
Pioneer in and we'll just sort of have a big chat about like
yes.
all our favorite foods at the moment.
Just food porn it
This,
up.
yeah, this is what your naturopaths are eating at the moment. But yeah, all the herbs bitter, you know, and like, is it the first time tasting bitter? It's gonna be yucky,
Yep.
but the more you take it, you'll be surprised that your bitter receptors actually start to crave it.
Yeah.
You'll be like, wow, I'm craving something, and it's not the
Yeah.
sweets, it's actually I'm craving the bitters. Like,
Absolutely.
then we talk about the mechanics of like, has it got turmeric and is it gonna stain? And there's a classic story I know of someone who gave, it was their first time making a formula for a client who had Invisaligners and didn't tell the client that the turmeric would make their saliva a little bit yellow and that saliva could potentially stain the Invisaligners. And it's these sorts of things that we need to be aware in telling our clients. Or even like, you know, a few drops of that on fabric will stain that, you know, well,
Yeah.
we'll stain a countertop even. So
Yeah,
it's these sorts of things we have to
absolutely.
walk clients through on herbs. And we have the
Absolutely.
luxury to do that and also the obligation to do that
Yeah,
sometimes.
yeah. And key actions, I think, for a lot of like for the formulations that I will make, I'll sort of not cleverly, but intuitively give actions of each of the herbs in there that I want the client to know
Yes.
and to perceive as their consuming such medicine. And I think, that's something that I find very powerful.
Well, we've done it in our own separate ways, but you've sort of seen me get clients to write on the inside label
Yes, I love
and
that. That is
overarching
beautiful.
intention or sankalpa or placebo, you know, about what they want this medicine to do. So every time, because obviously with our dosing, we sort of say like 2-3 times a day for clients. Sometimes I might give clients to like have a little dropper bottle that they're taking as they need it. But I think it's really good to when you take that medication, that herb. Obviously, when we're formulating, we're putting our intention in. So we're putting in like we're putting this in for this phytochemical, but also energetically and psycho-spiritually as well. And sort of, you know, like I am calm or I am healed or I am no longer inflamed, you know. But you want to get the client to also sort of make their own intention and have that concrete there. So they see and they repeat that mantra even when they're taking it. And I think it's you always get better outcomes from the clients who actually go through this ritual or go through these little rituals about like I'm this medicine's gonna make me feel energized or it's gonna make me feel the best I've ever, you know, and sort of working with clients sometimes taking 5 minutes to be like, hey, let's put our hands together and think of a little, nice little mantra for you moving forward for your treatment, you know.
It's giving the client agency. It's like making them in charge of their health, which what medical system is actually removing empowerment from people, giving them like, yes, I believe I'll just take whatever you need. No, we need to actually be taking charge of our own health because that's the long-term game. And that's where you need to be making yourself in terms of longevity and taking power in that. But it's all in that vibrational energy. And it's been proven so many different times. But Emoto, I always think about the water and then the photos of the water and then the different labels on the water and you're like hate versus love and the way that the crystals are being photographed on both of the water containers. That it's stark contrast differences and it's repeatable. These studies have been repeatable. So it's whatever intention we put into something, if someone is sitting going, oh, this is gross, this is going to make me so sick and I don't want to be taking this, well, yeah, it's not going to have the
And
effect.
isn't it so funny that those clients who do that are the ones who have longer
Outcome.
healing
Yeah.
journeys?
Yeah.
It's the ones who don't have the outcomes where they want them to be. I always kind of chuckle a little bit when clients come to us and it's last resort.
Yes.
And they kind of have to be like, well, why are you here? Like, do you want to? Obviously, everyone wants to be here to get better, but like, why naturopathy? Like, why herbalism? And then there's so much willful resistance throughout treatment that it's kind of be like, well, you can bring the horse to water, but you can't make the horse drink. Like,
No. And but you see it in those in the contrast, the clients who are like, I will do anything and I am here for the whole journey. And it's just seamless. It's
and they get the results.
they get the
They
results.
get the results.
And they want it and they're coming back and they're our gold star clients. And a huge difference between the two.
It's very much that I think relating like herbal medicine for me is not a comfortable medicine.
No.
It can be a comfortable medicine, and I do my best to make it appeasing, the placebo or the placere again, like
If we need to.
to make it, like good medicine should be beautiful, and you want to like have your herbal tea in a nice cup, and have your herbal shot in like nice glassware, and sort of make it, like you can make it. But at the core, if you think about herbs themselves, they're in the earth, they're in the dirt, they're in the rain, they're from wild areas. There's an almost uncomfortability there. And I think that, we hear those sort of instances of children having greater autoimmune conditions coming from overly sterile environments. If medicine is made out to be overly comfortable, overly clean, overly sort of one little white pill fixes everything, like there's a bit of chalk and cheese, and there's kind of some, in this, I'm just rambling right now. I'm
No.
saying random words that aren't, but I hope that you're getting the essence of, like, herbal medicine is in itself an uncomfortable medicine. It's a slow medicine, and you kind of have to work through those blocks to your health to get the
It's
outcomes.
finding comfort in the uncomfortable. And herbs, from feedback of clients over the years, it's always, I don't like taking my medicine. It makes me feel uncomfortable, but I know my body wants it. And they will come back for repeats because they miss their herbs, although it's not always a pleasant circumstance to be doing
In the initial phases.
in the initial phases.
Oh,
Because they're not used to it, or there's, but it's a suitability to that client, and their body needs requires it, and they know that it's a good thing. So it's almost like this contrast of thinking where they're like, oh, this is gross, but I really need this, and my body really responds well to this. And if I didn't have this, I wouldn't be getting the outcomes that I need to be getting. And we know this intuitively. It's crazy. I absolutely adore herbal medicine. And this is why when I found Chris, I was like, you're here. I don't want you anywhere else. You have to come see us. I want to bring back the magic of herbs. And Chris is way more knowledgeable on herbs than I am. But I love how we all learn, and we're all learning constantly about herbs because they always are teaching us something. And same with our clients.
It's the story, isn't it? We think of stories as something we tell children, but if you think, like, the plants are so old, they've been around for so long, and like it we've learnt stories from them, and in that story there is healing. And I think it I'm you know I could talk for days about it. You pick up a herb and I'd be like, hey, do you know the folklore about this one?
Which we'll do.
And
We're going to do more podcasts
we'll
on
do a
these.
few more of those ones on our favorite herbs. But yeah, I think it's always good to sort of share those stories, because maybe you might not remember all of it, but you'll remember some bits, and then you can tell other people, and it's an oral tradition that
Passing down
hopefully we
tradition.
don't lose.
I agree.
Because us coming from Western backgrounds, not to get a bit too historical, but the witch hunts really broke the lineage of healing for us that is vastly unbroken from traditional Chinese medicine and from Ayurveda.
Very true.
And that's just two examples. There are plenty of other herbal medicine backgrounds, and I'm not saying that they're the only two encompassing, but from a Western tradition, we have a very broken line, and especially here in Australia, we have an extremely even more broken
Oh,
line
yes.
because we're such a new nation. So
Absolutely.
it's I'm very big on taking the best bits from everyone and helping us to all know those stories so that we can be better practitioners with that skill set.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have to enmesh with the rest of the medical system. And this is the issue,
Understandably,
is that we have to, yes, be clinical and prove. We always have to sort of like prove our medicine. And in that way, we have to then talk the same language as those who are we proving this to,
it's a working triple time, isn't it?
But we know it works. We love it when clients come back and they're like, oh, my cough's gone in a week. But none of the other
Fancy
medicines,
that.
it actually works, this medicine. I'm like, well, yeah, actually. Or even my own kids, Mom, this is so fantastic. I woke up without my cough or my snotty nose. Wow, what you do actually works. I'm like, yeah,
It really is this really funny thing of, like, if you also kind of catch yourself sometimes, because for me, I've been doing it for a long time, and I'll still give herbs and be like, like, do they like, do they work, or
Is this
do like am I just really crazy and I've just made it up in my head? And then I'm like, oh,
it
it actually
does.
does something. Like,
They prove and teach to us
it's
that it's okay, we got this, like we're good, like we can help you here.
Yeah, I'm definitely a convert, but like sometimes I'm like, is this just a rig of placebo? I just believe it's happening, you know.
Well, yes. So, in the dispensary, a lot of you will probably see us doing silly things. So we will succuss.
Yes.
So, some of this is also, this is a big component to placebo,
Yeah,
right?
it's the art side.
It's the
It's
art.
yeah.
So we will succuss. We will also use different energy, like kinesiology muscle testing techniques. So I'll use some of those when I'm picking or looking at herbs. And a lot of it's unbeknown to the eye.
Or they just jump off the shelf sometimes.
Yes.
You'll be like, you'll be doing a mix for Picos, and then out of nowhere, you'll be like, I really want to put in an antihistamine herb. Because this herb is just going pew, and then you think, oh well, I don't know if that doesn't really necessarily go in the standard formation, but
But it's
I'm
called.
just going to put in 5 mils because I just feel like it's calling. And then something later on, you'll be perusing the internet and you'll get a little ad, and it'll be like, actually, did you know that this is such and such? And like, oh, damn it, this
I
was the
knew
thing.
it.
Like, I'm glad I put you in the formula. Like, yeah.
Yeah, we were called to, which is a huge component. And I think, what do you consider placebo being intuition placebo? How close are these two? This is always my conundrum of looking at.
I think I'm not a physicist, but I
Yes.
kind of have to kind of look at it from a physicist aspect. And if you think that like all matter is really just frequency.
Yes.
And if you think that like all frequencies are always interacting, and we very much in a holistic standpoint, we talk about like don't sleep under the router and don't sleep with the wearable and like watch your exposure. And I feel like that's the nocere side, the nocebo side of things, of like how frequency is causing harm. But I think when you look at it from like, is your ability to tap into a frequency, is that intuition or is that placebo? I feel like it's all just the same kind of thing. It's all just, not to make it too spiritual, but we're all just the universe experiencing itself at the end of the day, on a very three-dimensional, four-dimensional space. And we can disseminate and we can analyze and we can sort of be like, well, it's this or it's, but at the end of the day, it's all just the same stuff, really interacting with itself. And like, I always love to use mushrooms as a beautiful analogy, because if you look at forest settings, you've got loads of really ancient forests connected via the mycelium, and the mycelium, sort of the actual mushroom, not the fruiting body that we sort of think of the mushroom, but the actual mushroom, will move nutrients from healthy trees to support sick and dying trees. And that's a very physical aspect. I feel like that's where the sort of the placebo or the intuition is us doing the same mycelium work, just maybe on a vibrational or a frequency
A
element,
different level. Yeah, absolutely. Oh gosh, I love talking about this stuff. So after the, like, I guess we're just completing this picture. So client taken medicine, we've art formed,
They've
we've placeboed,
run through what it
they've
is. We've told them about the turmeric in there that's going to stain their fabrics. Yep.
they're at home, they're taking their medicines, whether doing it or not,
Yeah.
some people get outcomes and they don't even take their medicines as much as they
Oh
should.
my gosh, so just keep it on the countertop, cracks me up. And they're like, I'm feeling better. And I was like, yeah, because I don't know why, but like you got it next to you. Maybe the frequencies are in the bottle or like,
Absolutely. So, I guess dosage is a good little segue here, because as you mentioned, a lot of our medical direction is on dosage.
Yes.
You must take 7 mils to have an impact.
And I'm a big believer in much, much lower dosing. Yeah.
So obviously I lectured where, you also studied, I studied where I lectured, and then we are bound by educational, like, and there was, much disregard for things as drop dosing,
Yeah.
one-offs or flower essence
Yeah.
style usage of the way we see herbal medicine. But we do this in clinic, and we still, as we have spoken about this whole podcast, have benefit and impact
Great
on
outcomes,
these
yeah.
small doses.
Well, I think a really good example is You all might be a little bit surprised to hear this, but I'm a herbalist who doesn't actually take herbs myself because I don't have ongoing chronic issues. Okay, maybe my anxiety, but I think that's just the caffeine consumption that I have, so I'm aware of that one. But I don't have a herbal that I'm taking regularly,
No,
and
I don't either.
I'm not the only
Not anymore.
naturopath or herbalist who, as I say, we obviously when you have a symptom and you work
Yes.
through that and you're matching herbs and personality, but I take very low dose herbs. I'll do up a little 25 ml bottle and might take a few drops in a week, and that works for me because I've worked with the herbs for so long. And
Yes.
that's just personally me, that's my experience.
Yes.
And then there's been other times when I've tried the 50 ml dosing in a day, and they're very different mediums. I think
Yes.
it's almost like acrylic and oil paint. It's
Yeah.
like I seem to get really good results from going low dose more often and going like almost drop dosing more often for some clients. Sometimes that's not efficacious because the client can't be carrying around a little bottle, and it looks a bit odd to be taking a few drops on the tongue, and they're going to talk, oh, it's my herbal medicine, and they're going to talk with all the. So I understand. So sometimes for those clients, we might do a 3 times a day or a 2 times a day at a 7.5 ml, blah, 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 blah. But for those that are into herbal medicine and can talk about it, and they can do a little drop bottle, and they can, it works really well, and it has a space,
Absolutely.
and we don't often get taught that from the institution. So I've been big on trying to teach newer graduates when I encounter them and be like, you don't have to give a 500 ml bottle of
Dose.
herbs.
That's
Don't
right.
have to give top dose. Also, top dose might be too much. It might be too much medicine for the client. But you really need to learn these lessons by doing it and experimenting on yourself. And if you can experiment on yourself,
And I think that's the best learning medium as well. And that's where a really good practitioner we already know will be the one who experiments the most.
Which is why we play in the kitchen all the time
We
with
play
bits
a
and
lot.
pieces. And herbalism is inherently, we're very lucky in Australia that we have very amazing suppliers who give us
Yes.
really good high quality extracts. But there's almost something lost in taking raw ingredients and manufacturing themselves. How often do you as a practitioner give seeds to your clients and be like, here, the medicine I'm giving you is nettle, but I want you to grow nettles too.
Yes.
I want you to have an ongoing supply that you can manage yourself. It's these sorts of arts that we've lost, I feel. And I want us to bring them all back. I want us as practitioners to bring them back. And also I want clients to be interested and be like, your herb isn't just a liquid on a brown bottle on a shelf in a dispensary. It was like, you can grow your, like, herbalism is the people's medicine. You can grow your nettles for your allergic rhinitis, your seasonal hay fever, your anti-inflammatories. You can grow nettles. And while you're growing those nettles, you're putting that intention in, being like, I'm growing these nettles for, my hay fever, and I'm growing these nettles in good soil, so they've got good irons, so that's helping my low iron deficiency. And these are bits that aren't necessarily the same as what allopathics would give us, but we can have good outcomes from doing this as part of medicine.
Absolutely. And it's that when I first came out of, well, I wanted to be an naturopath my whole life, as you know. Ever since I was 8, 9, knew like that was my doctor aim. I was like, yes, naturopath. But as soon as I came out of studying, I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, let's make this cool again. And that's always been my motto in my head. Like, let's make this cool again. Like, this should just be what we all think and what we all do as an everyday, like, living arrangement. And taking this and knowing this and the knowledge and the ancient wisdom of everything that we're interacting with, because this is our planet. So yeah, it's I feel it's still a lost art that we're bringing back in.
It's advocating, I think. I think it's getting better. I think definitely a lot of the newer graduates are interested, and definitely a lot less glazed over when I got on my little soapbox
And seeking it
and
out
demanded
too.
everyone's attention. From the public as well, we run a workshops, and we're planning on doing more workshops that's doing more how can I make medicine at home, and people are interested and people want to know. And there's this big push to say there's an almost distrust for allopathic medication, maybe because of therapeutic relationships that aren't as
And it's
holistic and
and poor
encompassing,
outcomes or symptoms.
and symptoms, and so people want to take their health into their own hands, and it's like, how can we give them those tools? And that's also practitioner as a teacher,
Absolutely.
that's also the docere,
Not the
the part of it that's teaching. So Yeah, it's like, let's
Absolutely.
make herbalism sexy. Let's make it like, let's make it
Absolutely.
in vogue. Let's bring it back, you know, like.
That's what I love about you. This is why we're like, let's do
Let's
this.
drag up herbalism, yeah? Let's put it on RuPaul's Drag Race. Let's do that. Like
Love it. Absolutely. All right. So, wow, we did well. What do we want to tell people as a final departing message for this particular episode? And we will be back.
belief, the power of intention in your health. I think if we had to sum up everything that we said, it doesn't need to necessarily be about herbs, but it pairs really well with herbs. But I think you will get better if you believe you're gonna get better. If you believe that the things you're doing are helping your health, it will help your health. And I think there's a real power in that that shouldn't just be like, oh, it's in my head, but like, yeah, it's in your head because it's getting your body to do the things that your body needs to do because your head's controlling it. Like, that's, I think, for me, the takeaway is what we believe affects our environment
Love it.
and affects our health. And yeah,
Love it.
like
Absolutely. Perfectly said. So everyone, Chris is taking your clients
I'm
and
books are open,
books
yeah.
are open, and revitalhealth.com.au is where you can book in with Chris, and we will be doing workshops. And so any feedback or any suggestions, please put it wherever we see it, because we will then produce or help and support all of that.
And like whatever herbs you want us to talk about, like if you got some herbs
Oh
you're
yes.
interested in, if you're
Yep.
like, hey, I heard about this, do you guys know about this? We can talk about that. If there's some herbs that are your favorite and you want to hear about like the folklore or the energetics on those herbs,
Yeah,
I
because we'll
will.
be doing that no matter what.
Yep.
But if you've got suggestions, we'll do that instead. Yeah, incredible.
Yeah, we'll definitely do our little food one about like the things
Oh,
we're
yeah, we come
eating.
up with ideas within the podcast. I like this. All right, see you.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to the Revital Health Podcast. We hope you enjoy this episode. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Revital Health, as well as our website, revitalhealth.com.au, for upcoming podcasts, workshops, and speaking events. Find out about specials happening in the clinic and all the show notes and links mentioned in the podcast. Please remember that this information discussed here is general information and it is not intended to diagnose or treat individuals. Please speak to your healthcare professional before embarking on any new treatments, lifestyle changes, medicines, or supplementation to assess your suitability. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see you again soon.